Here's little Project 365, and these flowers go out to my love, Sylvia.
Vincent, I want to thank you so dearly for your call-ins, for your heartfelt contributions. Oh my goodness, they touched my heart, every single one of them deeply. Opened my mind, opened my consciousness, brought me closer to awareness, linked my own personal practice with that of something like video games. It's an amazing gift. So thank you so much for that. I want to let you know that I've added all of those segments. I've put them all into an episode. I have a podcast, Homeschooling with Inquiry, and I'm going to spread this out to all the parents I know. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page and different places to promote this because I think it's so important for parents to start to broaden their views and to open their minds to something that their children so dearly love and then they're missing out on knowing about.
Debbie, thank you for the co-created incident that led to that flow of information and thought. You know, it makes me smile to be able to assimilate information and share it so that awarenesses can be allowed. You know, that's why I call myself the holistic artist, because I have to remind myself to allow things to be, allow people to be, allow me to be free. So I appreciate very much that you're sharing that, and I hope one day my daughter can find that and hear. That's, you know, part of what I'm doing this podcast for is my daughter Anna, that I've not seen or spoken with since she was 3, but I talked to her in Dreamworld, and I think I know there's the morphogenic field that we're connected through, and I see little glimpses here and there through social media of kind of a peek into who she is, but I can feel her and sense her, so thank you for providing the opportunity for me to speak to that subject of creativity in the games of flickering frames. Because what's really interesting is the more you start to observe and appreciate video games, you come to the realization that they are literally 30 to 60 paintings per second that are being created with the stage of props and this idea laid down in words called code, and that all these amazing people came together with this concept that all stemmed from one guy going, you know, it'd be really fun, you know, it'd be really interesting, you know, it'd be really cool. And they had this concept for this game in their head, and who knows where that stemmed from. It could have been when they were young playing video games and or reading a book or watching a movie. We just have to allow that creativity to flow from wherever and move forward in the now with the least amount of expectations that we can put on the world, because I found expectations create a collapsing of the possibilities of reality. So the more clay and playful you can be with reality, the more dreamlike and moldable it can be. The more you put judgments and expectations on your reality, the more it collapses down into those reflections of that vibration. So play like clay, and you'll have much more fun throughout the day. This is Alloistic Artist right here on Anchor.fm. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts, the lines are always open. Ciao for now. Let's see if we get another call in.
Alloistic Artist, the storm that's arrived in my city has prevented me from going to work, which is fantastic because I get to listen to your station and all of your amazing, beautiful words and call into you. I've echoed some of your pieces onto my station. This thing about creativity and play, this has been a theme of my whole life. I used to get quite criticized and condemned and judged for being so in my imagination and so in my creativity and play that people couldn't relate to me. And I've always been called strange my whole life, and I refuse to wear that label. In fact, I embrace the strange, and I'm compelled to live in the present moment. This is how I was built, and I've always had trouble tracking time from the past and planning for the future, and I'm so glad that the rest of the world has caught up, because people are now talking about being in the present, and finally I can talk about it. So I just want to thank you for being that person.
Georgie D, Georgie D, Georgie D. Holy cow in the now. Yow, yow, yow. Yeah, buddy. I love the now. And the more I realize that that's where we have all of our power and our experience and our joy, our anticipation, it all happens in the now. And when I learned to shut off worry and stop using that part of my imagination to create things, you know, that I didn't want to experience, it became a lot more amazing. And yeah, what's interesting about being in the now and observing from the now point of view and engaging the playful imagination is that is what we did as a child. That's what we all do inherently. And that's our natural state of being, right? Our natural state of being is that of a child. And we have this morphogenic field that we key into, that others around us, their knowledge and experience ends up getting shared. And then we end up being mesmerized into complacency of being self-regulating, so that those that are outside of the flock and living in the now and paying attention to the wow become criticized and judged. And that's where I gave up hurry, worry, and giving a shit what anyone thought about me. Not worrying, not caring what somebody thinks about you frees you up to truly become yourself. And I realized and I observed that people's judgments of me was simply the contrast that they experienced, their point of view and their perspectives to mine. And so it was this really interesting mirroring process that would happen. When people would judge or criticize, instead of it tweaking my feelings, you know, my feedback mechanism, our feelings are just our feedback mechanism to let us know what our vibration is, how close it is to that joyful state, or how far away it is. We put all kinds of labels and words on it, but it's really about, are your heartstrings stringing and strumming, or are they bow and bumming? And that juxtaposition of their point of view, their observation of me and what their expectation of me, what they were trying to collapse the reality down into for me, I learned how to not put it on, to allow it to just flow by like an observation rather than stick to me and change my vibration. So living in the now is a very interesting thing. And I totally get you with the time thing. I have to ask people all the time what day it is because I really have no idea. And I only ask that because of some other reference thing. Otherwise, I'm more interested in the energy of the day, and that's why I study the Mayan Dzogchen and observe what the energy flow is for the different days. Because then you know what is going to be amplified. You know, if you're playing a particular instrument or song, certain things will harmonize with it, and certain things will play against it. So it's part of my strategically lazy plan. Thanks for calling in, Georgie D. Love you as always. Also, along those same lines of play and clay and how people like to fire their clay into a particular sculpture and then make everybody else only play with their sculpted clay that's already fired. And I bounce back to that idea because you can take that fired clay that you think is so set in stone, that all the circumstances are set and everything, you know, no matter how crazy, that's to you, that's the real world in that moment. But going into an active meditation of play, and meditation and play are very analogous in many ways, because in that playful state, you're also raising your vibration as well as in the meditation state. They're different forms. One's an active meditation, the other one's more of an interactive or active within meditation. And they're very complementary. It's very interesting how complementary the two are, because through the act of meditation, of stealing the mind and the body and kind of doing the complete yin to yang of the playful clay, you're now firing your body into that mold to where you're the gooey center of awareness, of consciousness, that when you retract from all those external stimulus that's painting your reality around you, you allow yourself to open up to the reality within you, and the connection to that consciousness where all the answers are. And then when you go back into that playful state, you have this stronger connection. Like, I've noticed sometimes when I'm painting or when I'm drawing, it feels like there is a different artist coming through me. Like, I know what my hand movement and my stylistic approach to most things are. And there are certain times when I get into this meditative, in this now zone of the the now of that play, I'm allowing that creativity to flow through me from another aspect of the self.
other than this one I carry around called Vincent. You know, as attached as I am to this little Vincent, I realize that we are more than that avatar that we carry around for our little souls to play out this game of life in. And so it's fascinating to me when that occurs, and to be present in that moment to observe how I've gotten into this creative flow, but I'm observing it as if I'm watching somebody else create through me. And I remember when I first thought about that, I put a little note out to the universe that, hey guys, let's have a universal artist show or something like that, and I allow other artists to come and flow through me. And so that reminds me, I need to set up my studio and start painting again. I've been putting that off. Playing too many video games. Vincent, quit playing those video games. Do some art. I love you guys. I'm so appreciative for Anchor. And if you're listening to this on a podcast and I haven't interacted with you yet, then that just means that I'm communicating with you through this. But I do hear you. I do. I do put intention to listen to the whispers of the intuition. You know, and when you follow that heartstring pull, and you follow that intuition, that quiet little whisper, you get this wave of sensory feedback that I remember when I was a little kid, and Mom would say something like, we were going to go to the park, or we were going to go to the mall, or anything like that. You get that butterfly in the stomach, that excited feeling, and it's so awesome to be able to focus your attention on gratitude for everything that you have in your life, and gratitude for all the things that are in the works just outside waiting for you to allow them to flow through you. So anyway, I was saying, if I haven't spoken with you on Anchor, and I know there's quite a few people that have listened to my station that I've not yet been able to interact with, I look forward to the day when we can communicate. And in the meantime, I appreciate you listening to my goofy life. This is Alois Descartes going back to the phone lines and see who's up next.
Hello, Alois Descartes. I just wanted to call in and say thank you for finding that conversation that Debbie was having about video games and sharing her segment and all your call-ins and segments about it. It's very interesting. It's, you know, as a person that grew up playing video games and had these arguments over the years, it's like a never-ending battle, but it's worth fighting for, and getting. It's very nice when people are open to have open minds about the how powerful things can be and how artistic. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, kind sir, for your call-in, and thank you for your call-ins to Debbie. I was
rifting off of quite a few of your inputs and adding my additional scent of two. And, you know, what's interesting is the PlayStation 4 that I got a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years now. It was sometime before now. I know that. Is my very first console. And in the past, I had never really played that many video games. I started getting back into PC gaming a while back, about maybe 6-7 years ago. But the graphics and the compute power required to do it still left a lot to be desired in the frame rates and the where my visual acuity was. It was still not fully engaging for me yet. This latest generation really excited me because of the whole package. My PlayStation is probably where I view 90% of the YouTube content, as well as like when I'm watching Gaia and definitely playing games, and actually watch quite a few movies on it too. So it's my least expensive computer and my most valued computer at the same time, because I value the time on that one obviously more, because I spend more time there. My PC that I use has about 2 years ago I built it, and that was to give myself a little more of a workstation. I have a 2012 MacBook Pro that I traded out for some web design work. I don't do very many websites, but they had a 40-plus page website they needed done, and I needed a $4,000 Mac at the time, so I did a trade, and I have the Mac, and they have the webpage. So, I've always found how to use computers to as a creative tool. My very first computer I ever got into was a 486, and I remember I had to do 5 years worth of bookkeeping for my friend as he bought it for me to use for college, and in return all I had to do was enter in 5 years worth of bookkeeping from like four different businesses and a bunch of rental properties. And so, needless to say, I taught myself how to type, and I learned 10-key. Man, could I do 10-key fast back then. And from that, I found my first graphics program, and a friend of mine gave me a copy of this program to try out called CorelDRAW, and it allowed you to draw vector-based images. So vectors are a mathematical term for, you have a point or a node, and then you have a line or a vector going from one point to the next point, and then that vector can have a curve to it, so it has little arms that you can grab and drag around. Well, coming from my drafting background, this was like having a Mickey Mouse wand that I could wave, and the line that I drew could come to life on the paper, and I could wiggle it around in case I got it in the wrong place. And man, I just went to town with that tool, because it was kind of like going back to drafting after going from drafting to watercolor, because it was so much more structured. Now, you must keep in mind the time frame I'm speaking of.
because this was the year of 1992. And this was a Packard Bell 486 DX 66 megahertz machine. Oh, buddy. 66 million cycles per second. Oh my gosh, how can they do that so fast? And it has... Whoa, no, it didn't have 4 megabytes of RAM. And it didn't even have a graphics card in it. It had... It didn't even have enough video memory to display... it only displayed 256 colors. And I found out that you could do a modification for it to upgrade it to where it could display... what was it? No, it did... it was like... 64,000 colors was the next step, or something like that. And I remember mailing off for a piece of software and also mailing off for that little chip. And so here I was tearing into this really expensive computer at the time, opening it up and looking inside of it, and my friend being nervous about... Well, actually, no, I don't think I told him. I think I just did it. but I'd grown up tearing stuff apart and looking at its insides because my grandpa had a body shop. And so growing up around a body shop, I always had broken down cars and all kinds of pieces of quote-unquote junk that were my playground. And so my imagination, I was out there driving around in that car and living all the stories of all the people that had driven it in the past and just really engaging my imagination. So when it came to computers, you know, I popped that thing open and I was like, man, there ain't hardly any parts in this thing. This is easy. And that began my before I got that machine, my dad gave me his old computer. I remember first seeing that computer in 1986. Yeah. And this was like 92. So it was a few years old by that time. It was a Tandy 1000. And I upgraded that one from 8 megahertz. I installed a turbo card and got 16 megahertz out of it. And it had dual floppies on the front of it. So one of them would be your program, and the other one you could save your document or whatever on. And I was writing papers for college on a Tandy 1000, and I needed to be able to print it out. And there was no printers for it because it was like, let me see... 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. It was a 7-year-old computer by that time. And a few things had changed since then. Like, hence the 66 megahertz 486 with a math code processor. I remember firing that thing up for the first time. And the first time... I got on to CompuServe on it, and AOL, and that wonderful chime of getting on the line. Oh, wow. Well, thank you for the little trip down digital memory lane. You know, having started in that time frame, it really makes me appreciate how much compute power I have in my fingertips, because I used to dream about that and read science fiction about it, and now I'm holding it and talking to you all over the world, right here on Anchor FM with Aloistic Artist and my neighbor yelling at her dog. Come on,
buddy. Aloistic, we have not spoken in forever. But I hear you every now and again, here and there, doing what you do. Listen, the reason I was actually calling in is to let you know that I have a little artistic surprise over on my segment today under Kuntz's Corner. I'd be interested to hear back from you what your thoughts are about the little video link that I left there. I think it's about 2 minutes and 20 seconds long or something. One of the most amazing artists I've ever seen create something right before my eyes. Pretty spectacular stuff. From the humble of opinion of someone who is not that kind of an artist. A word artist, maybe, but not that kind of a creative artist. I'd be interested to hear what you think. Take care.
Bubby! By the time I found this wave, I couldn't find the other wave about the creative thingy that you wished to share with me. And the anticipation is overwhelming. I would very much enjoy checking that out. So if you could, maybe repost it and... Or maybe you put it in an episode. If you put it in an episode, just give me a call in and let me know which episode it is, and I'll go check it out. I'm always fascinated by the creativity that can flow through consciousness when we allow it. And observing and appreciating the creativity that flows through another, having that awareness is, I think, as artistic as the actual creation. Because it's, in creation, I find it more about the eye than the hand. What the eye sees, the hand can follow. The problem is, we tend to rather than observing in the now that which you want to draw and really observing it, like study observing it, versus when you try to draw something and you go, oh, I'm not an artist, this isn't working. It's just like playing those video games. The first time you try, you suck. You know, everybody does. It takes practice, and it takes working through that. But in art, in creation, it's mostly about the eye and the feeling and the what you're trying to accomplish with it. But you can, by developing that awareness, you can develop that ability to allow that play to happen. You know, that's the thing, is when we were kids, we were all artists, right? We are all artists. Just most of us deny it rather than allow it. So you're either a denying artist or you're an alloistic artist. So it's your choice. But everybody's an artist because everybody has the ability to play in the clay of creativity. So if you could, kind sir, please post it again. I'm sorry, I was probably off playing video games and missed it at the time. And thank you for calling in and catching up, man. Yeah, it's been a while. See, that's... I'm definitely appreciating the episodes, the episodic approach, because if I really want to reply to it like old school days, I can just post it to my thing and reply to it. The only problem is that kind of breaks the cadence for my podcast or for a podcast, because if you don't have the ability to then push it up to your podcast, then you're missing that context again. So it's all right. It's still a fun playground of communication, and I love the creativity of so many minds coming together and recognizing our consciousness and appreciating each other for the beauties and talents that we allow to flow through us. So thank you, kind sir. I'm going to check out your corner, and I'm hoping that you're episodically podcasting it out so I can catch up. Ciao for now. Aloistic Artist out.
You're listening to the Aloistic Artist radio podcast show thingamajigger right here on anchor.fm. If you were live on anchor.fm, you would have heard that beautiful set of music I just played. If you're listening to this on a podcast, get your little butt over to your app store and download that app right away. And you can listen to all that music play. They got Spotify and Apple Music for your listening delight. If you have the full premium accounts, you get to hear the whole song. So I get to be your DJ right here on planet Earth as we swing around the universe. Let's see what we got to play next. You're listening to Aloistic FM with your Aloistic Artist right here on anchor.fm.
Hey, Vincent, I didn't know if you ever actually got to see the segment where I posted the link to Eric Wall. So I thought, what the heck, I'd go ahead and just give you a quick call-in and leave you that link so you could just check it out for yourself. I appreciate you publishing my call-in, but obviously with the 24-hour window, that segment's been down for quite some time. So I just wanted to make sure if you didn't see it, that you at least have the opportunity. So I'm including the link here for you in this call-in so that you can just reach out and check it out for yourself. And I would still love to hear back from you. I'd love to know what your take is on this gift that Eric buried for 20 years and how cool it is that he's found it and found a way to really make his difference in the world. I think it's really cool. I know you were talking about being in the moment, being present in one of your segments recently, and I really appreciated that. So thanks, my friend.
Bobby, 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 thank you very much. That's exactly what I was hoping you would do, was call in and drop the link so I could check it out and let you know what I thought of it. And I can appreciate the burying your talent for 20 years and coming back to find it, because I did the same thing in many ways with many of my creative flows. So I will check it out and let you know. Thank you very much for calling in. You're listening to Aloistic FM.
You are listening to Aloistic FM. That's Aloistic Fantastic Man. Or if you're so inclined, Fantastic Man.
If I get a van, I could be Vincent Van Gogh, Fantastic Man.